eyes upon me. Oh, the Spirit of God is upon me. Oh, the Spirit of God is upon me. Oh, the Spirit of God is upon me. Oh, I used to think that I had to. I used to think that I should. Scripture told me that I had to be good. But now I love because I want to. I love because I am free. Blinded by the Spirit, oh Lord. The Spirit of God is upon me. Sing with me, whoa. The Spirit of God is upon me. Whoa. The Spirit of God is upon me. Whoa.
So just taking a moment to allow your eyes to close or softly focus. Just taking a few nice, long, deep breaths. Allowing, maybe giving yourself permission to come into presence, this present moment. Allowing your awareness to notice your breathing, the in-breath and the out-breath. Noticing your body. Any areas of sensation that might be inviting your attention, just allowing love to be present. Indeed, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love is here because you are here. Can you welcome yourself here just as you are? Just because you are. Maybe allowing your awareness to be conscious of any thoughts or feelings, worries or cares. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing to change. There's only to love. And maybe in your presence here, there, here right now, there's maybe a longing. Longing for peace. A longing for healing, a longing for provision, connection. Can you welcome that longing? And meeting that longing with love and compassion. This poem, Mind Wanting More by Holly Hughes, only a beige slat of sun above the horizon, like a shade pulled not quite down, otherwise clouds. Sea rippled here and there, birds reluctant to fly. The mind wants a shaft of sun to stir the gray porridge of clouds, an osprey to stitch the sky with its barred wings, some dramatic music, a symphony, perhaps a gong. But the mind always wants more than it has. One more bright day of sun, one more clear night in bed with the moon, one more hour to get the words right, one more chance for the heart in hiding to emerge from its thicket in dried grasses, as if this quiet day with its tentative light weren't enough, as if joy weren't strewn all around. And just allowing your awareness to come back to this place, to the sounds, the smells, the presence of the other beings that are here. And as you're ready, gently opening your eyes. All right. Well, I think we've just done everything we need to do here today, so it's been... Some days are just like that, but no, not today. I am really, really excited about today. We have a special guest and a dear friend of mine who is going to be sharing in today's message, and I'll tell you a little bit more about him, but before I do that, I want to offer just one thought in three parts to just set the container for what we're doing here today. First of all, I just want to say and affirm that I hope that you know, I hope that you feel that you are welcome here, however you are, wherever you are, in your spiritual life or life in general. And Everything that we do here is intended as an offering. It's like going out to eat at a restaurant, you know, and some parts of it you may like, some parts of it, you know, you may not find useful. We kind of say chew the meat and spit out the bone, you know, whatever's not helpful. And there's no dogma intended here, but just simply offerings that are intended to help you in your spiritual life. And so as we do that, just to kind of put a little bit more around that, it's again, one invitation and a takeaway in three parts today. You know, first is that we prioritize exploration over explanation. So I hope that you'll just join me in putting on that explorer hat and taking a walk through the woods, so to speak, and exploring what the world has to offer. Secondly, prioritizing prompt over prescription. And this is important for those of us spiritually minded folks, because I don't know about you, I like prescriptions. Give me my 3 steps, give me my 5 steps, give me my 10 practical steps that I can take away and apply to my life. But spiritual growth doesn't go like that. Jesus offered this prompt about being born again. You know that? Yeah. And it left people kind of scratching. What? Huh? What do you mean by that? And these are just intended as prompts and nudges for you to just think about your own life and how to grow. And then lastly, prioritizing dialogue over description. And this morning's going to be very interactive, and it's going to be an opportunity for you to hear myself talking with our guest speaker, and then an opportunity for you to interact as well. And we really value that here. So, you know, if you're looking for a talking head giving a 45-minute lecture, today's not going to be one of those opportunities, okay? We do that here too sometimes, but I'm really looking forward to that. So now, on to our special guest. Sport Barber has become a dear, dear friend, and we met under the most unlikely of circumstances. It's just one of those things where it had the fingerprints of God all over it. We were at a dinner party, and Sport walked in, and I think it was your last name, and I just I said, are you by any chance the brother of Anita? And Anita is the wife of a dear friend of mine whose wedding I was in back in 1992. And Sport was there. We didn't know each other at the time, but it was just like, oh my gosh, who'd have thought we'd come together in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho? It was just amazing. And then just in the course of getting to know Sport, our paths are very, very spiritual and very parallel. With the difference being Sport is a longtime Idaho resident. He's lived here a long time and been involved in spiritual work for many, many years. And he now considers himself, well, he is a hospice chaplain, a spiritual companion, and a wilderness guide. And his ministry is Wilderness Soul Care. And you're going to hear that reflected in his talk this morning. So he's going to come in just a minute, share for a few moments about his life, and then we're going to have a little conversation between the two of us and hopefully some time for question and responses from all of us here. So would you please join me in giving a warm unity welcome to Sport Barber.
It is a true privilege to be able to be here with you today. The spirit of love in this place really resonates with all of my being, so thank you. I've had a chance to meet a few of you and appreciated those all brief conversations. This is a place that I never envisioned myself being again in this lifetime. A church on a stage. I pastored for most of my life, and the majority of it here in this community, and I guess you could officially refer to me as a former evangelical pastor. And for those of you I haven't met yet personally, my name is Sport, and the majority of my life has been spent sitting with people in some of the hardest and most honest moments of their lives. Somewhere along the way, I found myself in one of those moments. And frankly, today, I would rather not give you a talk as much as I'd rather just sit by a campfire with you and share with you some of my story. I was told by James I've got about 10 or 15 minutes to tell my life story. And I'm not going to put you through that today, trying to condense things and make you follow timelines. But it led me to the question, which story should I share? And because for a long time in my life, I had a version of a story, of my story, that made sense to me. And I think it made sense to all the people that had been in my life for all of my life. And it worked. I knew who I was. I knew my role in life. I had spent over 20 years as a pastor, and I was showing up for people, helping people. From the outside, it probably looked like a pretty good life. And eventually, something in me just stopped breathing. For 40 some odd years as a pastor's kid, missionary kid to start with, and then pastoring myself, I got really, really good at being what people needed me to be. Pastor, helper, guide, strong one, a good husband, good Christian, a good boy. And honestly, being a good boy, I was really good at that. It worked really well for a really long time until one day it didn't. And I didn't know what to do with that. Not physically speaking, but if you've ever had that feeling where everything in your life or everything on the outside looks like it's intact, right? But underneath the current, you just know that something is not okay. Well, that's the part of the story that I'd like to share today, I think. I didn't have language for it at the time. I just knew something wasn't right. And for some reason, the only place it made any sense to me to go was off to the mountains. And so I did. I started disappearing into the woods of Montana on a regular basis, and I could not get there often enough. It wasn't because I had a plan. It was just, and it wasn't because I thought I'd find anything or I knew I was searching for something. I just knew I needed to go because it was the only place that I knew that I could breathe. And it was around this time that I started working in hospice. I get out there to Montana, and it was quiet. It wasn't the kind of quiet that is unnerving, where like nothing is happening. It was the kind of quiet where like everything's happening in the quiet. In me, in nature, the sounds, it was mystical, it was personal, it was, everything was happening. There'd be a river right next to me, flowing by, a fire going, and not a soul to be seen. That's my definition of heaven. And for the first time all day, I didn't have to be anyone. And that was becoming a challenge for me, because at this point, I was not sure I even knew how to be with myself. So I remember sitting by my campsite in Montana, and my mind, I could not shut it off. Like, same thoughts, same regrets, same fears, over and over and over. It was like my brain had just lost this ability to like turn itself off. And I remember thinking at one point, going, I need my brain to have like this abort function key, you know, like abort, abort, stop. But my mind could not get the message at all. It just kept going. Like something inside of me was like trying to solve my life somehow. And it couldn't. I remember, I was there all the time. I remember sitting there next to that river completely exhausted, just knowing that I needed to be there. And I was exhausted from trying to like think my way out of it, out of my life, out of my circumstances. And at some point, I just like gave up. And it wasn't because I figured anything out, and it wasn't because I found any answers. It just, I had nothing left in that moment. And I was living with this strange contradiction in my life as well. Like, by day, I'm sitting with dying people next to their beds or in their living rooms. And the strange thing was, they were like so much more honest about life than healthy people, right? And certainly more honest about life than I knew how to be. But families trusted me, and I knew how to sit quietly in really hard moments. But internally, man, my life was going to... Oh, excuse me. My life was unraveling. Okay, there you go. Sorry. I have to be a little careful now. I held my tongue for years as an evangelical pastor, and I've been learning to loosen my tongue, and so I just have to be a little cautious. So I'd nestle my tent right where the Yak River meets the Kootenai River. And I breathed so deeply there. You know that kind of breath that makes you wonder, like, have I ever breathed deeply before?
Yeah.
Right? The cedar trees all around me. And the river, and the fire, and the smoke just blowing in my face. And somehow, those things in concert or in harmony together, they seem to steady something inside of me. The river was holding the crazy noise in my head that I couldn't shut off. The fire, especially at night, my eyes dancing with the flames, and at night it felt like it was just caretaking my soul, my exhausted mind, even when I slept. In nothing but silence. And it was at that moment that I started to notice the river. Not just its sound as a background, but to actually hear it and observe it. And it was so steady. It had ebbs and flows, but it was steady. And it was unrushed. And it was not trying to be anything other than what it was. And something in me in that moment decided I needed to follow that. Like, not the thought, but actually that river, the rhythm of it, the steadiness of it. And for the first time in a long time, as I began to observe all of that, something in me began to quiet. Even in my felt like going crazy mind. And what I started to realize was that the silence that I was in was not empty. It was full. It was full of things that I had not been listening to. It was full of things I didn't know how to listen to. For a long time, maybe for most of my life, it was full of grief. It was full of truth. It was full of like parts of myself that I didn't even know that I had lost. I began to realize, I come to this almost like an awakening, that I had spent most of my adult life trying to become who I thought I was supposed to be. While something deeper in me, deep inside of me, was still remembering a boy named Sport. And I had lost track of who I really was. Now, I don't know your stories, but I've sat with enough people in grief and at the end of life to know that most of us at some point feel something like this. And from the nodding of your heads, I assume you recognize that. That quiet sense of those moments where that something underneath of everything else is asking to be heard. And if there's anything that I've learned, it's not how to fix that. And it's not how to solve that. It's just how to listen. And sometimes the hardest part is giving ourselves the space to actually hear what's already there. So if there's anything in my story that might sound familiar to you, feel familiar to you, maybe there's that something for you too, like me, that's not asking to be fixed. Just listen to. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Would you take a moment and tell us about the images that we've been watching
absolutely.
As you've been speaking?
So all of the images that you've been watching are just things that I took, and all from the place that I would consider to be, now looking back, to be part of my healing. The place where I was surrounded by those trees that you saw, and the fire, and the river, all the exact same location, place that is forever bonded to me.
That's where the Yak River meets the Kootenai River.
That's right.
Is that where we were a couple of weeks ago?
That is right where I took you. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, Yeah. I just love it. I just love it. You touched about this in your talk, but if you were to just sum up, what did the wilderness give you that you couldn't find anywhere else?
The wilderness gave me space, and the wilderness gave me freedom to speak. I felt like I belonged, and I think for a lot of my life, I had carried a sense of not really belonging here in the United States. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just so you all know, Sport and I spend our times now. One of our favorite traditions. Do you want to tell them about it, or?
Sure. Well, I'll share it. Sure.
Okay. Sure.
So we often, as we've been getting to know each other, we sit like this. But at our favorite cigar place, over a cigar, takes us about 3 hours or more to get through just the one, and we just go back and forth like this nonstop. And so this, I'm tempted to just talk to James, but I know you're here too. But
stories and stogies and post falls. Right. I think that's what it is. That's what it's called. Yes. And it has just been wonderful. I've got a bunch more questions I want to ask Sport, but I just want to pause as you've heard and listened to anything. Are there any questions that you have for Sport? If you do, just put your hand up and speak out loud, then I'll repeat it for us all. Yeah.
I'd like to ask him if we can find a wilderness in our backyard.
Can we find a wilderness in our backyard?
Meaning your literal backyard? Or in this area,
or wherever we are,
close by.
I'm asking about my backyard because I have a beautiful overlook of the whole valley.
Yes.
And beautiful gardens.
Yes.
But just below me is the interstate.
Yes. Yes, right.
I hear the roar of that at certain times of that traffic as the river.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So in my thinking, and I understand that that's part of it, I found that quiet that I needed there.
You did. Good. I'm glad you discovered that in your own space. That's a gift, to be able to see it and hear it and feel it. And I can imagine you do miss the actual sound of the river versus the sound of the highway. Yeah. Yeah. We do.
Yeah, for those of you that are having difficulty, I know some of you are having difficulty hearing, and for those of you online, the gist of the comments and the questions is finding the wild in the ordinary. You know, when we've had the experience of going into the mountains, the wilderness, having all of that, you know, but I'm living now in the city right next to a freeway and all of the commotion, you know, where does all of this come together, right? So do you have anything more you'd like to...
Well, the way that my wife Erica and I do that is, you know, we don't have that yard. We're in an apartment, so but we go to places. Either we've got a place to walk where we hardly see a soul on Canfield Mountain, and beautiful trees, or we'll go down to Corbin Park and position ourselves on the rocks with our back to any or all people that might be around, and we don't hear a thing, see a thing, except the water and ourselves, our presence. Or so wherever I go, I try to position myself in relationship to nature, just with everything else behind me. And the only thing in my periphery is just nature. And otherwise, when I have a chance to be in a yard like yours, I take my shoes off all the time, even when it's cold, and I let that dirt rub against my feet, or I'll lay on the grass. I'll do anything I need to do to just breathe and ground and anchor in that spot. Yeah. That answers your question. But,
yeah. Here, I'll come back here. Judy?
Well, I love the wilderness, and I love nature. But when I'm out there by myself, sometimes I'm afraid of seeing a bear or a moose or something like that. How do you overcome that fear and just enjoy the beauty and the serenity?
Well, I assume you mean apart from learning how to scare the bears away or carry bear spray, and having to learn that. The only way that I know to do that, that's one of the things I do, is I try to take people out to places like that. Like I took James out the other day, and you know, he's a city boy. He's a little scared of some of the bears and the moose, and so I'm trying to like break him in to the Montana vibe and Idaho vibe, but the trick for me is, I think, is finding that, I would say, finding that Anamkara, that soul friend of yours that knows how to be with you and give you space. And there's sometimes, if you're just going out finding places yourself, there's safety in numbers, and you have somebody that's just able to be back in the background while you're taking the time you need without needing to converse, without needing to be in your space, so that you can do what you need to do, but you have the sense of comfort of having that extra person. Yeah. Prayer for protection. Good answer. Good.
Prayer for protection. Yeah. And I'll just vouch for that. It's no secret. Yeah. This city kid, I don't own any guns, but I like knowing people who do. I stay very close to them. So. And bear spray. And what's the A-Bear? A-Bear when you're walking down the trail?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, hey, bear.
That's it, yeah. So I learned all about that as we were traipsing to see it. I might have even been that waterfall. Well, yeah. Close to that, yeah. There was a hand over here. Yes.
It's great. Thank you. I just want to hear how you've lived that you've given up being a good boy.
How have I lived now that I have given up being a good boy? With a great sense of freedom and breathing. Growing up in a pastor's home and being in a glass house of being a pastor and a pastor's kid, you know, you learn how to keep up all the appearances. And part of my journey for the last 16 years now has been getting comfortable not doing that. Just because I don't know if it's gonna come up, it makes me think of a thought. Can you hand me my phone real fast from down there? I typed it up because I wanted to, this seems to like fit. But I gave up this whole idea of trying to imitate Christ, which was part of my church upbringing. And this is a quote that gave me a huge amount of freedom. It's from the book Wounded Healer with Henry Nouwen. And he said this: when the imitation of Christ does not mean to live a life like Christ, but to live your life as authentically as Christ lived his, then there are many ways and forms in which a man can be a Christian, he said. So,
So, sport, let me just if you're willing to just riff on that a little bit, what are your current thoughts about faith and church? Yes. What are your current thoughts about faith and church?
Well, as a preface, okay, I might wander around this topic before I land on it, just so you know. I have the privilege of working with people from every walk of life as a hospice chaplain. So in every faith persuasion you can imagine. So I have the privilege of sitting with Buddhists and atheists and agnostics and every form of, and you know, one of the things I've been having to learn to shed and that I don't like about my job as a hospice chaplain is this idea of having litmus tests. You're going to have the chaplain in to come see you. Well, I don't want a chaplain. Or is he a Christian chaplain? Okay. And if so, is he the right flavor of Christian chaplain?
Yeah.
Right? You know, there's all these things that I've learned to do. I learned to do that dance all of my life. Like, somebody asked me to pray, I want to know, like, hey, tell me a little bit about your faith persuasion so I can pray in a way that's honoring of who you are and who you are and how you are and how you pray and believe. And I can do that really easily, right? My own journey related to faith was I can look back in time and see the time when I was a young pastor where I met a guy that had built a smokehouse in his Native American spirituality, and he wanted to bring me over to see it, and I was so captured by that. But I couldn't talk about that to anybody, right? So I've had so many interactions with, personal interactions with energy healers. I had the privilege of sitting at the foot of a shaman for 7 months with his readings and his life and learning from him. I remember the day that I walked in to a patient's home and she was Wiccan. And I said, oh, tell me about what it's like to be a Wiccan. What's important to you? And she started going through like maybe 10 or 15 things. And as she talked about it, I went, holy crap, that's me. I was like, I was in full agreement of everything that she said. And it was like in the core of my being, I agreed fully and wholly. And I never fully embraced every doctrine of evangelical Christianity of the church that I was a part of. Like, there were always these things, yeah, there's that, but, you know, and there's all these little clauses. And so I've, somebody asked me before church today what church I'm a part of, and I said, well, I think I'm a, my church is the woods and the rivers and the waterfalls. Yeah. And that was really, I think, the first time I ever said that out loud was today. So, yeah.
So just, you touched on this a little bit, but I know you've got a heart for men, working
yes.
with men and everything. And today we're having a gathering of a men's circle at 1 o'clock. What are your, you know, talk more about your heart for men, and particularly themes like, you know, identity, honesty, mm-hmm. authenticity. You know, what are some of your thoughts about that?
I think that men in our culture we've been programmed to show up with strength, right? And in my work, it's in front of me every day that you can only strength your way through things so long, right? And eventually strength gives out. And I always fancied myself to be the person where that would not be true, where strength would give out. Like, I can dig down deep, adrenaline my way through just about anything until I couldn't. And I think what I think is healthy is when we can have an environment and a context by which we start to say what's more important than showing up with strength is showing up with honesty. And for that to somehow be celebrated and embraced is maybe the challenge. Because honesty is not always accepted. But it is, I think, the challenge for men these days. So.
Yeah. It's also in that place where true strength lies. You know,
it is, right?
It's not that strength. It's not that strength isn't the agreement. It's not the strength that we're sold as a culture.
Yes.
You know, but to show up with genuineness, authenticity, and wholeness takes an incredible amount of strength.
It does.
Yeah. And courage.
Right.
Yeah. Does anybody else have a question? I got Jim, hang on here. Let me get back to you.
I'm one of the type A scientists that got to have the prescription, but I've been involved with horses for the last 50 years, and I like to ride my horse in the wilderness areas. I've been, probably been in some of these areas too, and so you have to have a good horse, and I've had them. And so my deal is that my horse died. I had a Gypsy Vanner, beautiful horse. And they're really hard to find, and especially I ride around Suicide Point. You'll have to hike that sometime down in the Salmon River or the Snake River. But you rely on your horse. But riding with a horse, and you trust your horse, and they trust you, is a whole different experience. You're going into this beautiful area with sheep and waterfalls and everything. Well, my horse died. I had a Gypsy Vanner for the last 2 years. It was just perfect. And I was really depressed. And a friend of mine, though, I ride with, he had a Gypsy Vanner. And he knew I liked him, so he called me. You want my horse? And guess what his name was? Faith.
Okay.
So I just, you know, have faith that it will come if you, you know, are good to people and they trust you. And yes. Horses are very, they sense you. My daughter teaches therapy, and
yeah.
I had this little horse I trained, and I was riding along around a pond, and I thought, I'm gonna meditate. I just want to sit back and enjoy it. And I gave him his head, and the next thing you know, I'm flying over the top of him. He fell down. He'd never fallen down. So we do connect with horses, and horses are, because you had the horses up there, I just had to calm you.
Oh, good, good. Thank you. Thank you very much. And yes, they do. They are connected to us energetically, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah.
What do we, Kelly? Yeah.
Thank you so much. I felt maybe it was the imagery, but I think it's also just your energy, like just this very calm, quiet sense like you were speaking about. And I was wondering if you have any prescriptions, because I like those too. Any techniques that you use to like bring the calm with you when you leave the woods, or maintain it in home or at work?
It is the hardest thing for me to drive back here from Montana, frankly. Like, it is. I feel the tension growing by the mile. In the same way that I feel everything releasing as I go there, right? So for me, it's really about having I try to slow down my pace enough where I'm not rushing from one thing to the next so fast that I'm not just taking time to breathe. and because I recognize sometimes that I'm not breathing. And so I take time to do that. I usually start my morning for an hour or two before anybody else is awake and just do that and think about what I think the day might hold, be open for what is going to actually happen. And otherwise, I don't have any prescriptions. I'm sorry. Good.
We've got, oh, yes.
Okay. Well, look how active you are today.
I'm curious how, after you had that moment of surrender, your work in hospice changed. Like, what changed once you had that moment, and how? What was the shift, and how did that impact your work?
I think what happened the most was that I think I felt less responsible for fixing anybody or anything. Although I was, even through my own difficult times that were driving me into the woods, I was still really good at being present with other people. I just wasn't good at being present with myself. But I think there was, now that you mention it, there was a shift that happened where I felt much less pressure to solve things for people, because I think I had been given that permission in that moment in the woods to not feel pressure for something to be fixed or solved anymore when I went, ah, I'm done. And yeah.
This is great. We Sport will be here after the service. I know there's a lot more things we can talk about here, but why don't you leave us with a thought or two about your hopes and dreams for the future?
Well, my personal hope is to spend much more time out in the wilderness and be taking people out there and creating the space that they need to have the times like what we've been talking about. And I've been feeling a pull in my heart, like, you know what, I've been working with the dying in hospice has been the most life-giving thing I've ever done in my entire life, okay? It has been incredible. And to help people live and discover life and even those moments has been incredible. But I think I'm feeling more and more of a pull to helping others like myself even learn how to live in the midst of this world that we're living in, and to find that life, that soul source, that connection with spirit through nature. I love facilitating that, and if I could do that all day every day, that's what I'd be doing. So yeah.
Well, and I have been a grateful recipient of that gifting, and so I'm sure there will be many more of those opportunities. Sport, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Love it.
Found out what they were going to talk about today, I went, oh, that matches all the songs I picked. So I like that. It's just like kind of reaching up into the ether and pulling it down. So here we go.
My spirit rejoices each morning. My soul bursts with song. just to be living on this planet Earth. My spirit rejoices each morning at each new day's birth. I'm thankful for all creatures living and joy that they bring. My heart sings a song of thanksgiving for each lovely thing. For mountains and trees, such grandeur behold. For rivers and seas, their beauty fills my soul. The whole of creation astounds me, too good for a dream. The earth and its beauty surrounds me, perfection supreme. When gray skies and clouds hang above me, my spirit beyond them shall see. My spirit rejoices each morning.